But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with almost everything we know about the shooting of Charlie Kirk and follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries. Just release the fucking files already. Let's begin, shall we? With the Kirk in the room, because it's all everyone's been able to talk about for the last couple of days. Not that we shouldn't be laser focused on demanding to see the Epstein files, which we will get to later on in this show. But for now, let's take a moment to...
The chair would ask that all members present in the chamber and those in the gallery please rise for a moment of prayer for Charlie Kirk and his family.
What the fuck? Absolutely not, sir. It's bad enough the American taxpayers foot the bill for an estimated $200,000 just for the vice couch fuckers, Air Force Two, to transport the recently deceased Charles James Kirk, totally not making that up, folks, from Utah to his home in Arizona. Oh, and let's not forget about the I don't fucking know how many thousands of dollars we paid six military members to carry Kirk in a casket while the cushion whisperer walked in front of them, barely touching the coffin with one hand and yet still getting credit for carrying it. And for what? Because it's not like Charlie Kirk was a member of the U.S. Armed Forces or a politician or anyone whose death would warrant the federal government to give his corpse a ride home. And if we're keeping it 100 here...
Charlie Kirk was a provocateur. He was someone who was fully engaged in all the modern tools of how you talk about politics and ideas in the United States. He worked aggressively to galvanize young supporters, especially young white men, in the column for Donald Trump as a candidate and then returning to the White House. His access as a young man, 31 years old, to the president himself, the vice president, put him in an extraordinary category of the modern political influencer.
White privilege is a racist myth that is rooted in bigotry, trying to classify people based on their skin color. If you are a racist, you have something to apologize for. If you're a white person who is not a racist, you have nothing to apologize for.
I do think that there is a direct correlation between someone's testosterone and their politics. I would love to have a study done on this. On young men, the lower their testosterone, the more likely they are to be Democratic.
The influence of DEI have actually inverted the piety away from the promise of what MLK said.
Even my greatest critics would agree that if you put 30 million Pakistanis in Japan, Japan's not Japan anymore. That's not xenophobia. It's common sense.
So we need to be very clear that you're not going to get gun deaths to zero. It will not happen. But I think it's worth it. I think it's worth to have a cost of, unfortunately, some gun deaths every single year so that we can have the Second Amendment to protect our other God-given rights. That is a prudent deal. It is rational.
And by that logic, Charlie apparently died for his belief by being one of those gun deaths that we have to deal with every year so everyone else can have their Second Amendment right to protect all their other rights. I mean, he was in the middle of a discussion about gun violence when it happened, so there's that. And while standing on business like Charlie did doesn't mean that he deserved to be shot in the neck. I'm quite confident he didn't think that he would be one of those deaths that he so flippantly said.
Some of you may die, but it's a sacrifice I am willing to make.
Seriously, there's gotta be a better way to preserve Americans' right to bear arms without sacrificing children in school or grandmothers at the grocery store or concert goers, church attendees, or just going to the fucking movies. But since we're apparently living on Earth X, there isn't another way to ensure some Americans get to keep their rights. For example, the Republicans' right to make shit up as soon as we all found out about Charlie getting shot in order to go after their political opponents.
And what we are finding is that when you do have those strong conservative voices speaking truth to power, you will find that when the left can no longer debate it, they can't deny the truth. The only way they can silence those voices is through violence.
Democrats own this 100%.
People are trying to shut down free speech.
But there is one side that continues to say that the other side is evil and hateful. To say that the other person is Hitler, to not talk to your family members based on who they voted for.
If we didn't know it already, there is no longer any middle ground. Some of the American left are undoubtedly well-meaning people, but their ideology is pure evil. They hate the good, the truth, and the beautiful, and embrace the evil, the false, and the ugly. And they literally will kill those with whom they disagree, just as their predecessor leftist Marx and Stalin and Lenin and Pol Pot and Fidel Castro did. We must know that.
They killed Charlie for asking questions. What kind of message does that send? Don't ask questions. It's too dangerous. Charlie spoke the truth. He said what he felt, and they killed him for it. It's officially over now. After today, we're not taking it anymore. They're telling us we're at war.
We're in a war right now to save this country, and so you have to be willing to do whatever is necessary in order to save the country.
This is a war we didn't ask for, and this is a war they can't win.
Well, that was quick. Charlie goes down, and the Reich Wing is already marching down the street with their tiki torches screaming, "White men, fight back!" No, seriously. Within a day of Charlie's passing, hundreds of white dudes took to the streets of Huntington Beach, California, with their torches in one hand and impotent rage in the other, yelling,
"White man, white man, fight back! 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 White man, fight back!"
Meanwhile, on the Fraud Fathers Twitter knockoff website, a video appearing to be AI enhanced, probably to hide the fact that one side of Manboob Mussolini's face was fallen down, thanks to perhaps a stroke or maybe Bell's palsy, shows the lumbering lardass at the booger-covered Resolute desk with this to say about Charlie.
"To my great fellow Americans, I am filled with grief and anger at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk on a college campus in Utah. Charlie was a patriot. He fought for liberty, democracy, justice, and the American people. He's a martyr for truth and freedom. This is a dark moment for America. It's long past time for all Americans and the media to confront the fact that violence and murder are the tragic consequence of demonizing those with whom you disagreed. For years, those on the radical left have compared wonderful Americans like Charlie to Nazis and the world's worst mass murderers and criminals. This kind of rhetoric is directly responsible for the terrorism that we're seeing in our country today, and it must stop right now. My administration will find each and every one of those who contributed to this atrocity and to other political violence, including the organizations that fund it and support it, as well as those who go after our judges, law enforcement officials, and everyone else who brings order to our country.
I'm pleased to announce that I will soon be awarding Charlie Kirk posthumously the Presidential Medal of Freedom."
What the fuck? Before anyone knew who the shooter was, what their political affiliation is, and why they did it, here comes the old wacko Donald and his merry band of Reich Wingers with a version of the story that suits their narrative. We got the Wall Street Journal and Mancy Nace out there crying about the shooter being transgender leftist who hates debates, freedom, and the right of anyone to own a gun regardless of whether or not they should. And let's not forget about Fox Not a News Channel hosts who are deep in their toxically masculine feels.
"Feeling the effects of masculinity right now. I feel the testosterone. I want to go to war! I want a lightsaber! I'm a man! War!"
And all of this happening within 24 hours of Charlie's death. But wait, there's more. Because the same day Charlie got necked, the wide-eyed crackpipe running the FBI took a moment from his fancy dinner at Rao's to post on social media that they caught the shooter. And then a few moments later, he took that post back, saying the guy they caught wasn't the right guy. Oh, and don't forget, Deer in the Headlights Patel made another post claiming to have caught the guy, but the FBI really didn't catch anyone in this case.
You sit on a throne of lies.
See, the guy who murked Charlie is a 22-year-old white dude named Tyler, who grew up in a maggot family that loves guns so much it became their full identity, according to Grandma, who spoke with the Daily Beast. For fact's sake, Tyler confessed to his father, who had a family member call the FBI while Tyler was distracted at his parents' home until the authorities arrived to take old Ty into custody. So in the end, Charlie's killer was not a trans person, not a Democrat, and definitely not an immigrant, no matter how hard the governor of Utah prayed that he would be.
For 33 hours, I was praying that if this had to happen here, that it wouldn't be one of us, that somebody drove from another state, somebody came from another country. Sadly, that prayer was not answered the way I had hoped for.
Aw, and here you were all ready to pounce on the left and join Mancy Nace's cause to distract from the fact that she has paid quite a bit for gender-affirming care for herself with the different versions of her face that we've been seeing over the last couple of years. And thank your God for unanswered prayers. Because the whole trying to turn Charlie Kirk into a martyr narrative coming from SideQuest Donnie and the grand old pervert protectors really wasn't all that convincing. Because the truth is way better, folks, starting with the inscriptions on the shell casings left by the killer.
I know there has been speculation as well as to the writing on those casings, those bullet casings, and I believe we have that as well. And I will share that with you now. Investigators noted inscriptions that had been engraved on casings found with the rifle. Inscriptions on a fired casing read, "Notices, bulges, capital O-W-O, what's this question mark?" Inscriptions on the three unfired casings read, "Hey fascist, exclamation point, catch, exclamation point." Up arrow symbol, right arrow and symbol, and three down arrow symbols. A second unfired casing read, "Oh Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow Chow." And a third unfired casing read, "If you read this, you are gay. LMAO.
Okay, so this is where boomers get it all wrong. Because the inscriptions on the shell casings, used and unused, made absolutely no sense to the boomers and the elderly adjacent members of our government and our media. For example, Blink Motherfucker Patel's pathetic excuse for an FBI's first thought that the markings of the manufacturer were somehow transgender-coded language left by the killer, and then the messages engraved into the casings were leftist ideology, probably because they already decided within hours that they were going to blame the left for murking the Kirk, when in reality, they were looking at deep cuts to the Alt-Reich online meme culture, specifically from Groypers, otherwise known as Nick Fuentes fans.
Son of a bitch!
Take the inscription on the bullet casing that killed Charlie. It read, "Notches, bulges, oh whoa, what's this?" That's a reference to an 8-year-old or so meme created by Groypers to make fun of furries. Let that marinate for a moment. The second casing shows arrows pointing up and down, and then to the side. That's a cheat code for a huge and destructive payload called Eagle Bomb from Helldivers 2. It's a video game. The third casing displays lyrics from a song, Bella Ciao, a French resistance song talking shit about fascists from Nazi Germany. And the fourth casing was a groper favorite, calling someone gay for the lulz.
You didn't see that coming?
So, you know what this means, right? Because I don't know for a fact that the guy suspected of murking Charlie was a Nick Fuentes stan who took Nick's very public feud with Charlie way too far. I just kind of know it's true. Which makes this a Reich-on-Reich crime that has nothing to do with Democrats or the left and everything to do with insecure man babies with microphones and followers getting all hot and bothered over who's more Christian nationalist than the other. Oh, and let's not forget about the loosening of gun laws, making it a fuck ton easier for Tyler to get a pew-pew and sit on a rooftop 200 feet away from his target. Because if we're being honest, that would have been a lot harder to do with a knife.
Damn!
Which is why the facts about the motive in this case aren't a thing to the Republicans, who are chomping at the bit to blame the left for all of this. Or how about wide-eyed Fattel's credit-making comments about the FBI, who didn't actually catch Charlie's killer because Tyler turned himself in?
In 33 hours, we have made historic progress for Charlie. I want to express my deep gratitude to President Trump, the Vice President, and the entire White House, who have been so incredibly supportive with both resources and just personally to the FBI as a team. Lastly, to my friend Charlie Kirk, rest now, brother. We have the watch, and I'll see you in Valhalla.
What in the ignorant fucking shit is this son of an Indian refugee even talking about? For starters, Charlie didn't die in battle. He was a Protestant, certainly not a Viking. Not to mention, Cash was raised in a Hindu household, which has nothing to do with Norse mythology, but then again, it's really too much to ask these incompetent jackasses to care about the lies they just told, or anything for this matter, because Donnie depends, sitting on the couch, talking to his Fox and Friends, their dear leader, says shit like this.
Radicals on the right as well. We have radicals on the left. People have gotten are watching all of these videos and cheering. Some people are cheering that Charlie was killed. How do we fix this country? How do we come back together?
I'll tell you something that's going to get me in trouble, but I couldn't care less. The radicals on the right oftentimes are radical because they don't want to see crime. They don't want to see crime.
Worried about the border.
They're saying, we don't want these people coming in. We don't want you burning our shopping centers. We don't want you shooting our people in the middle of the street. The radicals on the left are the problem, and they're vicious, and they're horrible, and they're politically savvy. Although they want men and women sports, they want transgender for everyone, they want open borders.
Well, you heard it straight from the moldy orange himself. He doesn't give a fuck if this country comes together. In fact, he doesn't give a fuck if the Groypers and the Kirkers go after each other, Biggie and Tupac style. Crimes the clown couldn't give two shits how many children die in school shootings, or whether or not you're shot at a concert, whether you're shot praying at a church, or sitting behind his teleprompter at a rally while he gets nicked in the ear by a piece of glass. And if we are actually being honest, this is how Charlie would have wanted it.
It's all about empathy and sympathy. I can't stand the word empathy, actually. I think empathy is a made-up new age term that does a lot of damage.
So don't worry about whether or not you're displaying sympathy or empathy, because Charlie said it himself, empathy is a made-up word. And certainly don't let people convince you that having no empathy for Charlie is wrong and you're the problem, because at the end of the day, you're just honoring Charlie's wishes.
And now for something completely different.
There is a lot to be afraid of in 2025. Russia's not so casually flying drones over Poland, and the House committee is watching UFO videos during public hearings. Napoleon's just burned down their parliament building. And of course, let's not forget,
The robots are here. Our future is no longer science fiction.
And if all of that wasn't enough, it looks like Eric's dad is going to have to stick to his own restaurants from now on after this happened in D.C.
President Trump met with protesters while dining out in D.C. for the first time at an establishment he does not own. The president, vice president, and several cabinet members had dinner just blocks away from the White House at Joe's Seafood.
Thank you very much, everybody. We wanted to take some of the members of the cabinet out to dinner.
A few moments later.
Free D.C.! Free Palestine! Trump is the Hitler of our time! Free D.C.! Free Palestine! Trump is the Hitler of our time!
Well, that's a certified banger. Too bad Captain Filet-O-Fish was so rudely interrupted by Americans exercising their right to free speech while addressing their grievances with the current regime ruining their country. But sometimes it be that way. And while we're on the subject of karma being a hell of a girl, the Dems on the House Oversight Committee are giving less of a fuck as the days go by, with their colleagues doing everything they can to stall the release of the Epstein files, which is why they leaked this little book from the Epstein estate.
Both sides on the House Oversight Committee just received the documents that were subpoenaed by James Comer, the top Republican on that panel, from the Epstein estate.
Democrats on the House Oversight Committee have released what appears to be the image that Donald Trump claimed never existed. We're talking, of course, about the note Donald Trump allegedly wrote to his pal Jeffrey Epstein for his 50th birthday. In a post online, Donald Trump's deputy chief of staff, Taylor Budowich, claims that the letter doesn't contain Trump's signature?
From what I see, it's not a signature. I've seen Donald Trump sign a million things.
This doesn't look like his signature to you?
Nope. Doesn't look like it. I've watched him sign nonstop.
Well, I don't know. I mean, anybody can do a signature. We've seen the auto pen's been used quite a bit with the Biden administration. So I've never known Trump to be much of an artist either. So I'd kind of draw that into question.
Do you think it's his? I highly doubt that it is. I don't think that if that is true and he did sign that letter, I don't know that there's anything there.
I mean, look, the reality is that they are bold-faced lying and they know that they are lying for Donald Trump. We know the president has said that this birthday book and note that somehow it didn't exist. And it's been there in the Epstein estate now for decades. So what the president is saying is that somehow this note was planted many years ago and the signature matches it exactly. And we know, of course, that Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump, according to Epstein, were best friends for over a decade. Give me a break.
You know, I would, but the price of a Kit Kat has gone up by 25% since the Danger Yam began squatting in the White House again. But at least, you know, we can now look at this book, all of us, see who signed it, along with leaving doodles like a crayon scribble of Epstein getting serviced by three girls with Mar-a-Lago in the background. Which just goes to show, this isn't a Democrat hoax, no matter how many times KK Caroline says that it is.
One of the other documents released by the House Oversight Committee contained a photo of Jeffrey Epstein holding an oversized check that was made out to him in the check from the president for $22,000 for a fully depreciated woman. I wondered if the president has any recollection of that or what you guys make of that photo that was included in those documents.
Did you see the signature on that check? It is not Donald Trump's signature. It is absolutely not. The president did not sign that check.
What exactly is the hoax? I'm just trying to understand what's fake. What's fake is not the documents.
The hoax is the Democrats pretending to care about victims of crime when they do not care about victims of crime, when they have done nothing, and when they are now using victims as political props to try and, again, smear the president of the United States and drag on this bad story about him. It is a distraction. The Democrats view this story as nothing more than an attempt to distract from the accomplishments and the achievements of this administration. And that is what we mean when we call it a hoax.
Oh, poorly educated Carol. I'm sorry to break it to you, but...
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
What you are describing is not the definition of a hoax. It's a stupid attempt to spin the narrative because it looks like your adjudicated rapist of a boss has a wonderful secret history of diddling children that he really, really doesn't want anyone to know about. Oh, and then there's the Epstein email dump brought to you by Bloomberg News that got Britain's ambassador to the United States fired for being disgustingly close to a professional pedophile, leaving quite a few Americans wondering why the United States just can't be more like Britain.
You ruined everything, you stupid bitch.
And that just leaves the rest of us wondering what the fuck the smallest Johnson to ever be speaker was rattling on about when he claimed Epstein's former bestie was really an FBI informant who cracked the case way back in the day.
That he's not saying that what Epstein did is a hoax. It's a terrible, unspeakable evil. He believes that himself. When he first heard the rumor, he kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. He was an FBI informant to try to take this stuff down.
The next day.
House Speaker Mike Johnson is walking back comments he made that President Trump was an FBI informant in the Epstein investigation.
I don't know if I used the right word. I said FBI informant. I'm not sure. I wasn't there. This isn't my lane. I'm just repeating what is common knowledge and has been out in the public for a long time. President Trump was never a hindrance to the Epstein investigation. He was trying to assist in that. He is disgusted.
Oh, so let me get this straight. You accidentally repeated one of the talking points discussed at your last Epstein cover-up meeting in the Oval Office and just forgot that that wasn't the one that you all had decided you were going with. Got it. Because in order to be an informant for the FBI, you need to be guilty of a crime due to the proximity of a much bigger criminal that you have information on. And for those of you in the back, one of Epstein's clients who wanted to rat out Jeff would be considered an informant. But then again, Pick Me Bondi says there's no client list whatsoever, so I don't know what to tell you. Other than the fact that the Republicans are protecting pedophiles posing as customers now that the discharge petition brought by Reps Rohana and Thomas Massey have been voted into oblivion.
Hearing no further comments, the question is on the amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
In the opinion chair, the noes have it. The clerk will report the total.
4 yeas, 8 nays.
The noes have it. The amendment is not agreed to.
Well, I can't say I'm surprised, but I will say that this is
unacceptable! Unacceptable! Unacceptable!
What? What's going on?
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms such as Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, or Facebook. We are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-da for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.